Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? How are you all this morning?
Okay.
Yeah? That's good. That's good. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? My family have been watching this new reality series on Netflix. Do you guys use Netflix? Watch? Yeah? Good, good. There's Netflix here. I'm happy about that. That's good. So we've been watching this series called Physical Asia. Physical Asia. It's about athletes from different countries, Asian countries, battling it out to see who is the strongest. And I've come to realize that Mongolia is very good at wrestling. Thailand excels in kickboxing. And South Korea is good with taekwondo. Or kickboxing, and Japan is great with karate, but the Philippines, do you know what the Philippines excels in? Good, very good, very good, but I realized that it's not boxing, it's karaoke. Have you heard Manny sing, Manny Pacquiao sing? So the focus of my sermon today has nothing to do with karaoke. But it does have to do with the significance of wrestling with God and how when we cling to God, we experience hope and help that can only come from Him. So what do I mean? What do I mean by wrestling with God? When I say wrestling with God, it's when you're going through a difficult time and you cling to God by spending intimate time with Him. It could be through different things. It could be prayer, meditating in God's Word, quiet time, fasting. And you do that to get through that difficult time. Let me share with you a personal story. About 5 years ago, I went to South Africa to attend a church conference. On the way back, I contracted COVID. And I was coughing a lot. I had a temperature and I was coughing a lot. I was coughing so bad that I struggled to breathe. It felt like I was drowning. By the way, I can't swim, so I've almost drowned a couple of times. That's why I know how drowning feels. My condition was so bad, I ended up in ICU, and I was placed into an induced coma and put on life support. When I woke up, I had all these wires and tubes connected to me. I felt so weak, I couldn't move. I couldn't move my arms or my legs. And in my mind, I was only asleep for one night. So I was only in an induced coma for one night. So I was wondering, what happened? What's going on? When I was moved to the ward, my wife visited me, and she told me a few things that I struggled to believe. She said that I was in life support for 14 days, and that I almost died. She told me that she got COVID as well, and was admitted to the same hospital. She told me that my mother-in-law, her mom, who lived with us, got COVID and passed away. She told me how our teenage daughter was left by herself at home, wondering if any of us was coming home. So when I heard all this, I felt so alone, I felt so hopeless, I felt so helpless, and I felt so desperate. And I had to wrestle with God regarding everything that's happened. That was me, but what about you? Have you ever gone through a difficult time where you had to wrestle with God? Some of you here today may have lost jobs, may have relationship breakdowns, broken up, been a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You're estranged from your parents or your children or your grandchildren. Maybe you're going through a difficult marital issue. Some of you may be struggling with your mental health. You may have lost someone very dear to you. How do we cope in seasons where we feel helpless and hopeless and desperate? So our text will teach us. We will learn from someone who was in a hopeless, helpless, and desperate situation and how he overcame it. It's the story of Jacob. But first, let me give you a little bit of background on Jacob. He's a familiar character, but Jacob was the younger of his twin brother Esau. And these two brothers have a lot of history. It is important to know that the name Jacob has a lot of meanings. And one of them is a deceiver, someone who deceives people. Jacob the deceiver. So let me just give you context. True to his name, Jacob swindled his brother Esau out of his birthright. He did this by forcing Esau to give up his birthright for soup. Would you give up your birthright for soup? Would you give up anything for soup? I can think of a couple of things I would give up for soup. But anyway, what's the big deal about giving up your birthright? Well, back in those times, if you're the firstborn son in particular, you get twice as more inheritance as the rest of your siblings, okay? If you're the firstborn, you get twice as much inheritance as the rest of your siblings. So now some of you are thinking, I should steal my birthright from my brother or sister. So it is a big deal. So that was the first time Jacob deceived Esau. And then on another occasion, at their father's deathbed, Jacob cheated his brother out of his father's blessing. When Isaac asked Jacob who he was, Jacob responded with, "I am Esau. I am Esau, your firstborn." When Esau found out, Esau made a vow to kill Jacob. So Jacob ran away, left Canaan, the promised land, and stayed with his uncle Laban. 20 years later, he decided to come back. He sent messengers to his brother Esau to tell him that he is coming back. Unfortunately, the messengers that he sent came back and said, and gave him some bad news. They said his brother was coming with 400 men. His brother was coming to meet him with 400 men. And this can only one thing. Okay? Esau was going to kill Jacob. Well, that was what was in his mind. So he's in trouble. His family was in trouble. His whole tribe is facing total annihilation. And you can only imagine how Jacob would have felt. He would have been desperate. He would have been helpless. He would have been hopeless. Jacob the deceiver became Jacob the deceiver and desperate person. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone at night in the dark. And during those times, it's dangerous to be alone in the dark at night. It's not like there's a street lamp. Anyway, it's not like they've got torches. Maybe a torch, like, you know, not torches, but torch. You are susceptible to wild animals. You're susceptible to the weather. You're susceptible to people with bad intentions. But there's something profound that happens when you are in solitude. And listen to this. God often meets us when we are stripped of all earthly comforts and distractions. God often meets us when we are stripped of all earthly comforts and distractions. So Jacob finds himself alone, no family to support him, no possessions to lean on, no people to deceive. It is in this place of complete vulnerability that God chose to reveal himself. And I wonder, you know, how often in your lives, in our lives, we fill our lives with noise and busyness and distractions. And we do this to avoid dealing with the important things. We do this to avoid dealing with the deep things. Sometimes, God creates opportunities that forces us into solitude in desperation. Not to harm, but to meet us in ways impossible when we're surrounded by distractions. So Jacob was a deceiver, and he was desperate. In the next scene, we see Jacob, the disabled. So he was a deceiver, he was desperate, but he also became disabled. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So think about this. You know, you need to picture this. Alone in the dark, by the riverbank, an unidentified person attacked and wrestled with Jacob. They fought for a long time, from nighttime till daybreak, and the wrestlers were in a stalemate until the unidentified person touched the hip socket. Jacob then realized that he wasn't fighting an ordinary man, but someone divine. Jacob was strong, you know, working for his uncle Laban. He became very strong. But this person beat him, and he thought, this must be someone divine. And so he would not let him go and asked for his blessing. And sometimes God disrupts our lives, but it's a good disruption. He comes to wrestle with our pride, with our stubbornness, with our stubborn independence. The struggles in our lives are often God's way of wrestling with us, seeking our surrender. Now, sometimes we have this picture of surrender, where, you know, a cop says to you, "Put your hands up, surrender." It's like, you go, "I give up." Okay. But this is not the picture of God's surrender. The picture of God's surrender, you surrendering to God, is not "I give up." It's "God, I give in. God, I give in to you. I've been struggling so much. I don't want to struggle anymore. I want to give in to you." God doesn't want us to give up. What He wants is for us to give in to Him. When was the last time you gave in to God? When was the last time you surrendered to God? So Jacob was a deceiver. He was desperate. He was disabled. And then he became an overcomer. He became an overcomer. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." You have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Now you have to think about this, because the last time someone asked who Jacob was, he lied. The last time his dad, Isaac, asked Jacob who he was, he said he was Esau. But now, he tells this person that he doesn't know, that he's Jacob. He's basically confessing that he is Jacob the deceiver. He's admitting what he has done. "I have deceived people. My name is Jacob." For the first time, he's being honest with God. Are you honest with God? When was the last time you were honest with God? When was the last time you told him how you really felt? And this Jacob who clung to God and was honest, he gave Jacob he got a new name. He got a new name. His name is Israel. His new name is Israel. Because he struggled with God and humans and prevailed. And I'm thinking, hang on. Okay. He struggled with humans, yes, and he prevailed. But he didn't struggle with God and prevailed. He actually lost. So this statement doesn't make sense to me. In the physical realm. But in the spiritual, heavenly realm, he actually won. Because he was honest with God. Because he did not let go of God. God blessed him. Because Jacob persevered, Jacob prevailed. And, you know, I was at a funeral. I did a funeral recently. I led it, and there were Christians and non-Christians in that funeral. And I was having a chat with some of the Christians in that funeral. And they said to me, "How do people who don't have Jesus, how do they process someone's death? Because as Christians, we have hope and we have help." But if you don't know that there's another kingdom that we're heading into, what hope and help do you have? So I wonder how many people here today are at the end of their rope. You're struggling. This passage encourages us to continue wrestling and clinging to God because there is blessing in the wrestling. Even just encountering with God, there is blessing in encountering God. There is blessing that comes when we cling to God. So what are these blessings? There are many blessings, but I just want to highlight three. Okay, I want to highlight three blessings that are a consequence of when we cling to God. Okay. Number one, God changes us. God changes us. As humans, we have a tendency to cling to our past and for our past to define us. Sometimes we cling to our successes, disappointments, and failures, and we depend on them. Sometimes we even cling to our shame and our guilt and our anger. But this is what the Bible says. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God, children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When we cling to God, he changes more than our names. He changes our identity. He changes our identity. And I've got this picture of this, you know, a little lion cub, okay, you know, walking in the jungles of South Africa. Or the streets of South Africa. Is there a jungle? Anyway. This little lion cub, okay, walking the streets of South Africa. Not a care in the world, okay? Because dad is walking behind him. And I think we need to live our lives like that. Knowing that we've got the Lion of Judah behind us, supporting us, changing us. The second blessing we receive when we wrestle and cling to God is this. He makes us a channel of blessing. He makes us a channel of blessing. This is God's promise to Jacob. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Okay. So I was thinking, I looked at the Gibsons showed me a map yesterday, and I was thinking, if we do an Australian version of the east, from the west to the east, to the north and to the south. So from Western Australia to New South Wales to Queensland and to Tassie, we go really low. All the people of the earth have been blessed. Why? Through Jacob, because Jacob persevered. We are receiving the blessing, this promise, the blessing of this promise, because Jacob persevered. And the blessing doesn't end with Jacob, because we receive it. Now, God wants us to pay this blessing forward. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's the blessing from Jesus, keeps on getting paid forward. So my wife and I, we do this thing that sometimes on a Saturday morning, we would go to the McDonald's drive-thru. Okay? We'll go to the McDonald's drive-thru, and you know, we would order. And then we would pay for the car behind us. Okay. Because we just want to pay, God's generosity to us forward. Okay. And that is a good thing. Okay. We pay forward the blessing of God in our lives by paying for someone's meal. But even better would be this: to pay forward the blessing of Jesus Christ upon our lives. Okay? By spreading the gospel, by telling other people about Jesus. By doing so, you become a channel of blessing. And I want you to think about this. Who are the people in your lives that need you to be a channel of blessing? Who in your family, in your friendship, in your office, in your school, who just needs to know, needs to hear about Jesus? And it could be as simple, hey, just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. It can start that way. You know. Hey, what did you do on the weekend? I played soccer. What about you? Oh, I went to church. You should check us out sometime. You talk about Jesus. And so the cycle of paying forward the blessing continues. Share the gospel. Okay. God then makes you a channel of blessing. But some of you are thinking right now that, hey, when Pastor Michael leaves, we should follow him because he could be at McDonald's and he will pay for you. Yeah. So we might go to Kentucky Saturday night. Okay. So God changes us. God makes us a channel of blessing, and God walks alongside us. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. There's this scene, like, after that night, it's become a new day, a great day for Jacob, because he's encountered God. He seems to be a different person. Where he once felt helpless and hopeless and desperate, we have a changed and confident Jacob. He has a limp, but he has a spring on his step, because he met with God and lived. And he confidently believes that he would meet his brother and survive as well. Because Jacob clings to God, even with a limp, he can face anyone. God's presence is a blessing in itself. So God changes us. God makes us a channel of blessing. God walks alongside us. Now let me bring you back to my COVID experience. When I heard the news of how I almost died, how my wife was hospitalized, and how my mother-in-law passed away, and how my daughter was left alone at home, wondering, is anybody coming home? That was difficult. I felt hopeless. I felt helpless. I felt desperate. But we can't depend on our feelings, because that was a lie. The enemy was trying to deceive me. The truth is that because I've got Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I have hope and I have help. So I did the best thing that I could do at that time. I just couldn't move. I was just in the hospital. I just wrestled with God through prayer and meditating on His Word. Wrestling with God was not the only thing I could do. It was the best thing that I could do. And just like Jacob, I'm not sure if you've noticed, I actually walk with a limp. And I don't know if I will ever walk properly again, because it's been 5 years since. But what I do know is this: I can live full of hope and full of help, even with a limp, because God is with me. Okay. And you can too. Perhaps you are here today and you feel alone. You feel alone. There are things happening in your life that's making you feel hopeless, helpless, and desperate. You lost a job, lost a home, maybe even lost a loved one. A relationship has broken down. Parent, sibling, child, grandchild. You're feeling alone and fearful. Let me encourage you that you are not alone. God is there for you, and He wants you to wrestle and cling to Him. Will you do that? Will you do that? I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. Will you, like Jacob, wrestle and cling to God? Because if you do, He will change you. He will make you a channel of blessing, and He will walk alongside you. Let's bow our heads and pray.